Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Jeanette Conant. She is the author of The Great Secret, the classified World War II disaster that launched the war on cancer. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Just a fascinating tour through an unknown story from World War II and how it had effects that we continue to feel today. Jeanette, the story sort of starts around something that became known as Little Pearl Harbor, December of 1943. Can you take me back there and explain what that event was that gave rise to so much after it?
Yes, it happened in Bari, Italy, which was a really busy Allied port. And at the time, we were bringing in all the guns and tanks and bombs preparing for D-Day. And so they were just bringing in tons and tons of munitions. And we had 30 huge cargo ships in this crowded port. And the Nazis spotted it because it was illuminated all night as they were unloading all this equipment, and they bombed it. And it was, you know, a terrible humiliation for the Allies because 1,000 American and British sailors were killed in the horrible explosions that followed as these ammunition cargo ships blew up. And another 1,000 were seriously injured. So it was an absolute, one of the worst, really, naval catastrophes of the war after Pearl Harbor itself.
And part of the cargo that was part of the bombing was this mustard gas that would have been released, and it actually was released. Can you kind of explain what mustard gas was and what the intent was to have it there?
Well, mustard gas was the worst weapon of World War I. The Germans had developed it and used it, and it was a lethal toxin that, you know, when released, choked any of the soldiers that came into contact with it. And it was so terrible that it was banned after World War I. But we were secretly smuggling it into Europe and hiding it in these secret caches all along Europe because people were convinced that when the war went badly, Hitler would go back and use mustard gas again, even though it was outlawed by the Geneva Convention. So this one American ship, the John Harvey, was loaded with 2,000 mustard gas bombs, which had been made in America, which we were bringing in just to have on hand in case the Germans decided to use it.
Stuart Alexander, he was an American military doctor. He investigated some of these that were the folks that were hospitalized. And what were his findings as he started looking into the reasons for their hospitalizations?
Well, what happened is after the bombing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of sailors jumped ship and swam to safety, and they were taken to the hospitals, and, they looked okay. They're healthy 21-year-old American and British sailors. You know, they're freezing cold. They've been in the water for hours. They're covered in thick black fuel oil. But other than that, people thought they were okay. And then all of a sudden, they started dying of very mysterious symptoms very quickly. They would wake up covered in blisters. They would ask for a glass of water and then die 15 minutes later in sort of a sudden death syndrome. And the doctors in the British hospitals had never seen anything like it, and they panicked. And they sent out a red light call for emergency help, and they sent in this chemical warfare expert, this young American doctor. And he started investigating, and then he, after, you know, touring the hospitals and looking at the men, he thought he smelled mustard gas. It wasn't easy to detect because of all of the burned flesh and the chemical smell and the fuel oil smell, but he was pretty sure that these wounds might be mustard gas.
And so when it was discovered that they might be or that they are, what is his first idea? Is it to cure the sick? Is it to use it for further research? Or was everybody just confused, kind of like the coronavirus now, where we still know so little about it?
It was incredibly parallel to what was going on now. It was complete chaos. You know, you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wounded and dying men cramming the hospitals. The hospitals are overburdened. The doctors are run off their feet. Nobody has a lot of time to think. And his first impulse was to try and save as many of as he could of the dying. But there was a government cover-up, essentially. The British and American wartime leaders could not afford to admit that there was a mustard gas accident, that there had been a lucky strike, essentially, by the Luftwaffe, because it was not only a terribly humiliating accident, but they were afraid that if Hitler learned that this big cloud of mustard gas had been released, he would retaliate, and then all of a sudden World War II would be a chemical war like World War I, and they didn't want that. That was just unthinkable. So they covered up the mustard gas spill, and they refused to acknowledge it. So this poor American doctor is here trying to save the boys, give them the proper medical treatment, but he can't because the British hospital directors keep saying, we're told there's no mustard gas in the area, you're wrong. So he was fighting the bureaucracy on the ground, trying to get the proper treatment for these dying men.
I'm chatting with Jeanette Conant about her new book, The Great Secret, The Classified World War II Disaster That Launched the War on Cancer. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Jeanette, launching into the second part of your subtitle, The War on Cancer, what was it about this mustard gas that Dr. Alexander learned about and its relationship, to, or excuse me, Dr. Stewart learned in its relationship to white blood cells that we have used up until today?
What happened was he saw in the dying men that their white blood cell counts dropped suddenly, and as he studied the autopsies, he saw that mustard gas attacked white blood cells and lymph tissue, and that if he realized it could suppress cell division, and cancer was essentially fast multiplying malignant white blood cells that invade the body and destroy healthy tissue, then if mustard gas could slow that or stop that, it could be used as a treatment for cancer, particularly leukemia. So when he wrote his report, he suggested that. And even though his report was classified, it immediately went to the head of Memorial Hospital, the biggest cancer hospital in the world, who was at that time taking a time off to lead the Chemical Warfare Service in World War II. He immediately recognized that what they saw in the Bari victims was, in fact, a possible treatment for cancer, and they launched a secret study, even during the war, of mustard gas as a possible new medicine for cancer, what is known today, essentially, as chemotherapy.
You've written about these decisions that are made during war times to keep certain things secret. Was this particular decision and this event something that just followed along the same paradigm that you've written about so many times?
It's the terrible price of war. They had to weigh losing 600, 700, 800 men that had already been exposed to mustard gas and whose, you know, medical outcome was uncertain at best, against possible hundreds of thousands of troops who might be exposed and die of poison gas if Hitler learned of this accident. So they decided to cover the whole thing up. But of course, cover-ups lead to further tragedy, and hundreds of the sailors who were exposed to mustard gas and lived were never told of the source of their injuries and suffered lifetime ailments without getting proper treatment. So the cover-up had very serious ramifications, but, you know, hindsight is easy, and I think at that time the decision was probably the right one, as painful as it was.
It's just a fascinating story about how we've got to where we are today. The book is The Great Secret, The Classified World War II Disaster That Launched the War on Cancer by Jeanette Conant. The book's available wherever your fine books are sold. Jeanette, just an amazing piece of history that you've put together here, and thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Brian, thank you very much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.